that sing those out this morning, and especially those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time. And we have been talking about several different topics in our studies, and hopefully that these have been maybe of some benefit to you. And this morning we are going to be dealing with the mechanical instrument. We talked last week about the Lord's Supper. And as we look at this, and as we make an effort to study, to examine some of these things, we want to realize the importance of doing God's will. And whenever that we are looking even at the subject of mechanical instruments, we need to realize that it's not only in mechanical instruments, but it is in everything that God says or that God has spoken upon, that we are to follow His will within that. And the Bible is clear when it comes to what God expects of us. Sometimes we may get it into our minds that, well, I can do what I want to do. And maybe, you know, God hasn't said anything maybe about that particular thing in the sense of saying, thou shalt not, or thou shalt. And so I can choose whether or not I want to do that. And so whenever we think about the authority that we need in the New Testament, we realize that God has given us, many lessons, even in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament. And so whenever we think about authority, we realize from the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, that here Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, whenever we think about that, whenever we realize that, that if Jesus had all power, then that leaves us powerless. We have none of it if Jesus has got it all. And so all power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. And so that means that we need to recognize the authority, we need to recognize the power of Jesus Christ. And whenever we look to other scriptures, you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the inspired ambassador, who was the ones in which that were between, that is the Holy Spirit directing these apostles in bringing us the word, and they were the ones in which that we are to look up to, because these men were inspired. They were directed by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit came to present the message of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus teaches in the book of John 16:13? Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, if He has guided us into all truth, then we have all truth. And so whenever that we look to what the Lord would want us to have, or what the Lord, expects of us, then we realize that we look to His Word, because here is where that we find all authority. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So man is to speak what God wants him to speak. And so today, even at that, whenever a preacher or someone is discussing the scripture, it should be based upon what thus saith the Lord. What does God say about it? It's not my way of thinking. It's not your way of thinking. But it's what God says about it. And so Peter said, if you speak, you speak as the oracles of God. In Revelation chapter 22, we find here that Jesus said in verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Of course, we realize from what Jesus is teaching here when he talks about that he was the bright and morning star. He was going to come quickly. And then he says, "The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the word of the book of this prophecy. If any man shall add unto the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the holy city." So now, it's important for us to realize not to add to, not to take from. So we come to the thought of what we're doing and how that we're doing, in whatever hurry it may be. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "All things whatsoever you do in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, in word or in deed." Now think of that. Whatever we do in word or in deed, we're to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul further stated in 1 Corinthians 14:37 that what he spoke unto them were the commandments of the Lord. Now, this should be important to us, especially when we're coming to the thought of mechanical instruments. It should be. We should be concerned about what did Paul say about it? What did Jesus say about it? What did the other apostles say about it? And so that should be our first thinking, going to what they said about it. Now Jesus said he spoke everything that the God, that is his Father, gave him to speak in John chapter 12 and verse 49. Now if Jesus spoke everything that his Father told him to speak, and that's what he spoke, when we look at the teachings of Jesus, what did Jesus say about it? What did Jesus say about it when it comes to our worship? Well, Jesus said God, Spirit, those that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. That's what Jesus said about it. Must be in truth and spirit. So when Paul said, "Well, I said to you the commandments of the Lord," and you remember in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "When you receive the words that we preach, you didn't receive it as the words of men, but as it is the word of God." Why did Paul say that? Have you ever looked in the Bible? I'm talking about looking in the Bible, opening up the Bible, and see what Paul said about mechanical instruments in worship. Some of them may say, "Well, I don't care what Paul says about it. I don't know how I feel and how I, you know, what I think about it." We've got to be careful when it comes to that. Simply because we are not at liberty to think the way that we want to if it's in violation of God's will. There's a danger because 2 John verse 9 says, "Whosoever would transgress," that is, go beyond, and do. Or he says, "Abideth not in," falling short of doing what you're supposed to be doing. Had not God. So that's what we need to look at. And certainly, whenever we think about the Word of God, it is and will completely furnish us to every good work. Now, if mechanical instrument is a good work, God's Word will provide us with that information. The devil wants us to go on our own a lot of times on a lot of things. And the devil really doesn't want us to know the truth about mechanical reasoning. And you know what I know? That instruments sometimes can make us, you know, feel really good. And, you know, lift up our spirits. You know, you hear a song that you like, and you're taken into that, and you like that, and it gets that beat going, you know, and we get the going on with it. Now, you know, if you're like me, you hear some music, instrumental music, and you just don't care for it at all. It just kills you to even listen to it. But some of them may say, well, maybe God lacks mechanical instruments. Well, if God lacks it, God will tell us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through about verse 10 and 11. God has told us he lacks. And so there's no way for me to know whether God likes it or dislikes it. Because I can't tell God what he likes. But he has told me in his word what he wants. And if this is what he wants, then it must be what he likes. But every passage that we find, and remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, not to go beyond those, and we can look into the scriptures, and we look at passages that deal with music, that deals with our worship. I couldn't say that I will talk about mechanical instruments in our worship today and really be have a biblical understanding of it, because when I open the Bible, nowhere do I find where it was ever at in our worship. I'm not New Testament. But we can talk about New Testament. But when we read passages, and every passage you find in the New Testament, because that's the law that governs the church today. Every passage you find, like Matthew 26 and verse 30, they sang a hymn and went out into the mountain of Olives. Now Jesus spoke, now notice, Jesus spoke all that the Father gave him to speak. Jesus was here with his disciples, and it says they sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, if they sang a hymn, it doesn't say anything about them singing and playing on a mechanical instrument. It says that they sang. Mark 14:26 says the same thing. Here in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas was in prison. And remember, Paul telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 that when he comes to bring the books and things, in about verse 11, 12, somewhere in that verse, to bring his books. You know, find Paul saying, now, Timothy, when you come, make sure you bring my piano or guitar or whatever thing. And at midnight, he tells us in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas sang and played. No, we didn't say that. Sang and prayed. They sang at midnight, Paul and Silas sang and praised God. They were praying God. You can go to other passages. Like in 1 Corinthians 14:51 to me. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the piano. No. You didn't say that yet. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Why is it then that we cannot find word that the mechanical instrument was used in worship? Maybe it was because they didn't have any. Maybe it's because they didn't have backdrops. Well, I'm sure they did, because if you go to Haman 6, God placed the wall on their use. Well, maybe they couldn't afford it. Now, it don't take much, you know, to make a broom. It won't be very expensive. I know maybe get some of the modern day drums. I know you could have a lot of money in them, but I'm talking about just those little drums they beat on or their flutes. The thing is, sure, they could afford it, but they didn't have it because God did not command it. He didn't command. And you know and truly that most of the religious leaders during the Reformation period of time, they didn't afford it either. You notice in the little pamphlet that I was looking at that I gave to you in the four out there, either one of them. I'm not going to read all of it, but I just want you to notice that in some of the thoughts that's stated here, it tells us, for instance, if you look over in the Kelly Testimonies of the Reformation, of the well-known religious leaders, men like Adam Clark. He opposed. And he was a Methodist. But he opposed. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, he was a leading religious leader of his time. But he also opposed. Said, I have no objection to the instruments of music in our chapel, provided they are neither heard nor singing. John Calvin, he was the founder of the Presbyterian Church. He said, musical instruments in celebrating the praise of God will be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, and the restoration of other shadows of the law. You take men like Charles Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher. But all of his years in preaching, they never once had. Now even, at my age, I can remember when the Baptists in our area would not allow you to have the guitar in there. I can remember that. But here was a man who was preaching for thousands of tabernacles in London. But yet it was never used. Martin Luther, another. He was in that movement. Who eventually started the Lutheran Church, but he didn't want that. He wanted people to be called Christian, and he was opposed to mechanical instruments in worship. John Knox. He also was in opposition to the mechanical instruments. These men, of course, doesn't. By them being opposed to it doesn't mean that it's wrong. But they were basing their understanding upon God's word, and that's what made it wrong. They opposed him. But those churches today, they hold on to it. Hold on to it. Without looking and following what God said. The Bible is clear on us to teach and admonish one another. You can go to Ephesians 5. Where it talks about, be not filled with wine, where it says to be filled with the Spirit. Who's he talking to? One or two individuals? No. He's talking to everyone. And he says, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. He's talking to everybody. Now, I do know one thing, if I don't know very much. If God commanded the instrument in any of these passages, like Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, he commanded everybody to use one. Everybody. Not just one or two people. Not just a small portion of the church. But he committed everybody to do it, and it was a command, not something, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No. When you come together in assembly such as this, you are commanded to sing. Commanded to do that. Speaking to yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We are commanded to sing. It's not optional. Because singing is a part of our worship to God. Somebody said, well, I just can't sing with you. You better sing within your heart. You better sing within your heart. Whether you can sing to it or not, because God commanded me. God commanded me. And I know if God had commanded the mechanical instrument in any of these passages, then he commands everybody to do it. Because it's important. James tells us, being among you afflicted, though you pray, you be very near the same tongues. Now, let me ask you this question. When James says, let everyone sing songs, when you go back and look at the songs that David wrote, can you sing them without taking a mechanical instrument and going along with it? You know, we sing some songs like the Lord is my shepherd. And we don't use mechanical instruments, do we? Can you read the psalms without using a mechanical instrument? And the things in which that David did, they have no bearing. Because we're not living in an age of faith. But we do see some consequences of some things in which that was done in David's time that I think that we need to look at because of the verse that you remember whenever they had built the ark. You know, God had told them that they were to bear the cart on the shoulders, the ark. It was bear on the shoulders. So they ended up making a new cart, and they were flying, of course, to carry that weight. And by doing so, we find that Uzzah, you remember him? It started falling. He went out to get a hold of it. You know what God did? That's holding him down today. Why? Because he did something that God told him not to do. I know that God's not going to smite people down today like that. Let us remember one thing. John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, if you want to read about that, you can go over into the 2 Samuel. And you can read the story there of David and chapter 6. It's important for us. Because when it comes to, now we're trying to get away, but when it comes to mechanicalness, Christ never did command. He never did command. The Holy Spirit never did authorize it. And the apostles never did sanction. None of the New Testament writers ever endorsed it. And no New Testament church ever endorsed it. That should give us something to think about. I do. But I do know one thing also, that it's not to be used in the Lord's church no more than hamburgers or french fries to be on the Lord's table. God commanded us what to use on the Lord's table. The bread, the food, and the wine. So I think we can add a little bit more to it. Let's put a little gravy in there. Well, you don't know what to say. Well, some of them say, well, let us just take the bread away. We can just use the juice. What? We can't add it to it. We can't get from it. Just the way God says it's good. Why not? But if you're not a Christian, I hope you've understood something that I'm saying. Because a lot of people, a lot of our brethren, are involved in this. Not only for that, but it goes far beyond. Let us not be guilty of moving the heart of the temple. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Love God with all of your heart. And then if you're the will to do whatever you say you do. And the song in this is selected, I surrender all. Are you really willing to surrender all to the Lord? Give your whole life to Him. Turn from sin to repentance. Be willing to confess Christ. Be willing to be baptized for the remission of sin. But the Lord adds you to the grace. On this earth, we're living with you. Together we sing.